No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good afternoon, Winnipeg. Good afternoon, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this afternoon on our social media platforms, we say good afternoon, universe, and welcome to both my childhood bedroom and the Illegal Curve post-game show. Along with Dave Manuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to talk about another dispiriting, disappointing result for the Winnipeg Jets. They lose again their third straight game, dropping a 5-1 decision to the Colorado Avalanche, going down in the playoff series 3-1. You can't help but feel, Dave Manuk, that the end is near for this Winnipeg Jets team. Of course, they're going to give it all they can on Tuesday night, and not to say that they can't win on Tuesday night, but boy, oh boy, is the mountain steep for them to climb. And pardon the pun, but the Avalanche is heading down that hill. Good afternoon, sir. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Drew. Good to see the good folks here in the chat. Thanks for joining us again for another edition of the Illegal Curve Postgame Show. This is what, Drew, our, well, let's do some math, 86, I think, of the season. But
86, yes, sir.
Yeah, it's been, it's a tough one. I can understand why Jets fans are fired up. You know, they didn't like the start. They would have been a little happier with the end of the first period. They would have been a little bit happier with the fact that, you know, their team came out in the middle frame and started off, you know, I thought pretty well. But what was the one thing? And folks, you don't have to like the penalty calls. I agree. Some of them are ticky-tack. Some of them are marginal. And, you know, given the fact that Neil Pionk almost lost his head to Yakov Trenin two days ago in game three, on what should have been an interference and wasn't an interference. And don't get me wrong that the Avs could point out plays where the Jets had calls that were not called against them. But, you know, if you're comparing apples to apples, like, you know, I don't see how Pionk almost losing his head is not interference. And yet what Logan Stanley did, a lot closer to what I would say is where the puck was, is called an interference. So you don't like some of the calls, but the same time is that the refs, you have to figure out what the standard is that the refs are calling. And ultimately, the penalty kill does the Jets in again, right? You've got two power play goals that really turn this game on its head, ultimately. So, you know, that's not a good place for them to be. The chat's saying I'm quiet here, Drew. I'm sorry, I'm just seeing your thing, but I shouldn't be quiet. I'm on pretty much my full volume, folks. So
okay, so maybe it was just a one time. Maybe it was a one off that your mic might have been a little.
It could have just been because I was trying to start the thing measured and relaxed. So if the chat thinks I'm quiet, give me too quiet or good volume. I want the chat to let me know. But look, I think that, you know, this is a game, Drew, that there were a lot of things that came into play, especially in that second period, right? The discipline issue was an issue again. And we said, what did we say going into this game? We said that you could not have a game where you're in the penalty box against the fifth best power play in the NHL all season long. Remember, we're supposed to ignore what happens during the regular season unless it's relevant to our discussion. And in this instance, it's relevant to our discussion. So the Jets, of course, giving the Avs all they needed. And I a lot of the couple of things I thought of, and just quickly, I'll spit them off. Too many guys came into the Jets zone unmolested or even into the neutral zone. I couldn't believe how many times, if you watch it in reverse, when the Jets are trying to press, the Avs were hitting them every chance they got. The Avs made them pay. It's like a war of attrition, right? You made them pay for every inch that they tried to gain. And I didn't see the Jets reciprocating that. I'm not saying the Jets never hit anybody. The hits weren't even that out of range. It was like 31-24 at one point when I was watching or when I checked it on NHL.com. But my point is that the Jets had to earn every inch of ice that they achieved, and they didn't achieve a lot, and that the Avs did not have to sort of similarly earn that. And the last thing I would say, the last thing I really noticed, my last takeaway.
It's the last thing you're going to say. We're only 5 minutes into this post game. What am I going to do for the next 55 minutes?
In my initial preamble, Drew, the thought I had was the Avs clogged the lanes. The Avs didn't let the Jets get shots through the middle, through the ice and onto Gorgiev. So that was a huge thing that they were able to do, is really kind of limit Winnipeg's chances, and I haven't checked the high danger chances, how they finished off in the game. I'm sure you'll let the folks know ultimately, but like I said, discipline, you know, the physicality, and ultimately the shot quality, I thought, were three of the biggest things that stood out to me in this hockey game. And we'll talk about individual performances and the ghosts of Sean Monahan, Tyler Toffoli, Gabriel Vilardi. You know, so that to me, there's guys who needed to step up. You know, Kyle Connor, Mark Scheifele, and Nikolaj Ehlers. Like, you know, I'm not going to blame Axel Janssen Fjällby, who, you know, he got a boost in the third
but,
period.
I mean, that's the, as far as I'm concerned, they're the desperation is evident that there are no answers, that the Jets don't have any answers when they call up Axel Janssen Fjällby from the Manitoba Moose and think that he's going to be the panacea for all that ails them.
Didn't play him on the penalty kill.
That's right. So they exactly you're calling
I think
him
they
up
did eventually, but.
Yeah, you're calling him up allegedly because, you know, to play on the penalty kill. He did not play 1 second of PK time in the course of today's game. He had seven seconds of power play time, for God's sakes.
Well, and I will
play him on the PK.
Well, I mean, think about it. They got those useless power plays in the third when it doesn't matter. That's the best part. So the rest can say, mm-hmm. Well, look at the power plays. It's like, well, no, you gave the Jets power plays when it was completely out. The game's already over at that point. But,
right.
I mean, look, the Jets didn't explicitly say they were calling Axel Janssen Fjällby up for PK opportunities. I'm just saying that would have been kind of one of the thought processes was that, you know, you guys, you know, they say you got to be able to do multiple things. So that's one thing.
But making that decision, and look, there's no reason to spend a lot of time on it because it's not that was the difference in the game. But to me, Jared Bednar has badly outcoached Rick Bowness in this series. And the decision to all of a sudden elevate Axel Janssen Fjällby from the Manitoba Moose for this game just reeks of the similar desperation. Remember when Paul Maurice decided to bring Dmitry Kulikov in for game 5?
Instead of Enstrom. Which, by the way, pissed Enstrom off.
He hasn't been back in Winnipeg or hasn't been had anything to do with the organization since then. But to me, that's just a coach who's completely desperate and doesn't have an answer for what ails his team. Jared Bednar has been the better of the two coaches in this series. Now, it's easy to be the better of the two coaches when you have Nathan MacKinnon and you have Cale Makar and you have Mikko Rantanen and you have Val Nichushkin. No question about it. But Rick Bowness certainly has not, I think, stood on his head by any stretch of the imagination with any of the coaching decisions that he's made in this series. But ultimately, it didn't matter. I mean, you can't, if you're the Winnipeg Jets, it's a big mountain to climb regardless, but it's 2-1 in the series. You know, you need to have a great performance in tonight's game to be competitive. That means you take, you know, they got away with taking the first two penalties without getting scored on.
I will give them credit. Their PK was very good
to start
in the first period when they took the penalty.
Yeah.
Like, who was it? Was it Lowry?
Both Logan Stanley. Logan Stanley, in the second period, early in the second period, within the first six minutes of the period, Logan Stanley takes the back-to-back penalties.
But both those penalty kills, in my head, I'm watching this, I'm like, okay, this is going to be a turning point again.
Right.
But they were very good on the PK.
Well, I have a note about those two penalty kills here. As I look at people, I take notes and everything else.
Wow, look at Drew being a good old host.
It's not just chicken scratch either. You can actually read some of these notes, but they seemed like they were more aggressive on the puck carrier. As soon as they gained the line, the Jets PK appeared to be more aggressive in trying to disrupt things before the Avalanche could set up.
Yeah.
Now, you know, obviously you get away with the first, let's say, penalty and a half, because then Nathan MacKinnon took that penalty on Vlad Namestnikov to nullify the rest of that second power play. And of course, we don't yet have an update on Vlad Namestnikov. My understanding is this was according to Corey Massasak, who covers the Colorado Avalanche for the Denver Post, is that Vlad Namestnikov was being transported to hospital in Denver. If you missed it, or if you're just joining us late now, Namestnikov took a shot right off of what looked like the cheek, the face, tons of blood on the ice. Not a good looking scene, and we wish him nothing but the best. Of course, it certainly looked bad on the ice, and I'm sure it hurt. And I don't think it's going to end up being you know, the first thought that came to my mind when you saw him down like that was Brian Little. That was the first thought that came to my mind. Yeah. We remember Brian Little's career ending, you know, slap shot to the head.
Yeah, we have a more recent example. We have an example of that just recently with the Moose, where Tyrell Bauer was in practice, got a Christian Reichel shot to the back of the neck.
There
he's hit right here, and he was down, similar to Nemestikov, and not moving. The not moving right. part is
not
is
moving scary, the scary part.
Because yeah. you're like, why is he not moving? Is that, did it catch him in the neck? You know, you see him in the face and you're like, it still, you know, could be his eye, but you're hopeful that maybe it was the cheek. But regardless, you hope for all the best for Vlad Nemestikov.
That's right. You wish him nothing but the best. There's no question about that. And if there's an update coming on him, we'll bring it to you here live on the Illegal Curve post-game show, I'm sure. I think I saw Bailey, the intern, in the chat, so I'm sure Bailey will also
she'll be monitoring.
Yeah, Bailey's always good at monitoring the post-game comments. But back to the start of the game. The Jets need, you know that in the first, you know, games 2 and 3, you've been badly outplayed. You've been badly outchanced. You've been badly, just the Avs have controlled the game. The Jets need to find a way to come out with a better start and really just slow everything down. And mm-hmm. what happens in the first 10 minutes of the game? They get absolutely caved in. And if it's not for Connor Hellebuck making a number of quality saves early in the first period, within the first 10 minutes of the first period, when the shots were 11-1 for the Colorado Avalanche, it's probably game over before the first 10 minutes of the period are up. Connor Hellebuck holds the Jets in the game. He yeah. keeps them competitive in that first period. And, you know, the Jets are, you know, not to say fortunate, but yeah, to some extent, they're fortunate to get out of that first period tied up at one. They get an opportunistic goal on one of their only scoring chances in the first. Colorado had already opened the scoring, of course, and we'll get into all the goals and everything. But it's just disheartening to see that that's the start that the Jets have, because we talked about it yesterday morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You know, how are the Jets going to prove they're more than they were last year when they went out meekly to the mm-hmm. Vegas Golden Knights in five games, when they were just when it was over before almost that game five started? Well, to do that, you have to make sure that you're there for game four. And they weren't there to start game four. Connor Hellebuck was. And anyone who thinks that Connor Hellebuck, again, let me reiterate this. If you think that Connor Hellebuck has been the problem for the Jets in this series, I don't know what to tell you aside from the fact you are wearing some sort of blinders on regarding the Jets goaltender's performance. He's the only reason this is a close game. And then you're going to look at his stats and you might throw his numbers at me today and say, the Jets need more from their goaltending. Watch the game and tell me that Connor Hellebuck's the problem. And I just don't really, I have no argument against you because you're not willing to listen to reason.
That's how many goals can Connor Hellebuck score?
As far as I know, the
Jets scored one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, you can argue all you want. Two of the goals, forget about the empty net goal, but right. two of the goals that changed the nature of this game were, or at least one of them for sure, was the power play goal, right? And then you had two. So, I mean, that is, again, let's put it this way. The Jets are the eighth least penalized team in the regular season. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned this on yesterday's show. They've now given up 6 goals on 15 chances. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a mathematician. But if you do the math on that, it's not good. It's around 40%. That's really bad. Really bad. So what was the key? What was one of the keys we talked about?
Don't take penalties.
Don't take penalties. We said that on Saturday. And guys, the Jets, what did they average in a game, Drew? I mean, again, like I said, they didn't take a lot of penalties over the course of the year. So, and part of that also is because their PK wasn't very good. So you didn't want them to be taking penalties. So that was a key motivator. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you know, this Jets team, they did themselves in. Now, again, we have to credit Colorado because they're a hell of a good hockey team still. Right. And again, that's one of the things I think sometimes gets lost in the shuffle of these conversations is you're talking about the Jets not elevating. And look, there's no question about it. That's a part of this conversation. That's a part of this dialogue because there are a number of players who are not elevating their game sufficiently to offset what the Avs are doing. But you have to credit what the Colorado Avalanche are doing. Like, I think they showed a graphic during the game about what the depth of you're getting in terms of the scoring from Colorado, right? Mm-hmm. Lehkonen, Nikushkin, like all these guys are stepping up and producing. It's not just McKinnon. It's not just Makar. It's not just Rantanen. So, and obviously they don't have Drouin. So, I mean, this is a team that's, you know, understanding their limitation, right? Georgiev isn't let's be realistic. When we did the series preview, Drew, when we talked about it, we weren't giving the Avs the advantage in net. And we would say, having watched four games now of this series, that the Avs collectively as a whole, as a five-man unit out there, have tried to limit the exposure of Georgiev. And that's obviously a decision this team's made. And then they counterattack and they usually have created some good opportunities. So anyways, it's been an interesting series. That's all I'm saying.
Rick Bowness is addressing the media in Denver right now, and I'll bring you some of the choice quotes as some of the reporters on site are doing us a favor by tweeting them out. Mm-hmm. Here's what Rick Bowness had to say. This is courtesy of Megan Angley, who, of course, was on the show last night, DVNR Avalanche. Quote, "You want adjustments? Stay out of the box. Manage the puck better." I mean, stay out of the box is pretty straightforward for the Winnipeg Jets. If you stay out of the box in today's game,
yeah,
you know, really, you're 1-1. You're 1-1 after 20 minutes because you stayed out of the box in the first period. Then you start to play with fire and you take the two early penalties and, you know, you get away with one of them. And then another one is nullified by the McKinnon penalty, as I mentioned. But then you don't learn your lesson. The Jets are the kid who keeps testing and putting his hand on the element to see if it's hot. And guess what? It eventually got hot. And then as a result, you just can't afford to take those penalties. And I know that some of them are probably on the soft side. And I know that you might not like some of the calls.
Both ways, by the way. Both ways.
Sure, sure.
I mean, there were calls against the Avs that I was just like, really? I mean, even the McKinnon, when he knocked Nemestikov's stick. Yeah, right. McKinnon's a smart player. So, again, you don't put it past him, but... Like I said, same as the Stanley one, I would have liked to have just let them play, but the refs did not get the memo of this is playoff hockey, let them play.
When asked about Cole Perfetti as an option for the Winnipeg Jets, quote, "We'll make some lineup changes," said Jets head coach Rick Bowness. So, you know, what does that mean precisely? Does that mean Cole Perfetti is going to be in the lineup for game five? I don't know, but it certainly sounds like a possibility. But my problem with that, Dave, is I think it's too little too late. It's like when they were trying to pull Laurent Brossoit in the third period of the game. You're down 4-1. You have a late power play opportunity when Arturi Lehkonen takes the hooking penalty or Jack Johnson takes the tripping penalty. At this point, you're down 4-1. Lehkonen takes the penalty with 12 minutes to go in the game. Jack Johnson takes the penalty with 7 minutes to go in the game. You're down by 3 goals already. Who the hell cares if you get scored on into an empty net at that point? You're already down by 3. What does it matter if you're down by 4?
And being at 4-2, obviously.
Right.
With 12 minutes to go is a lot different than being 4-2 with 3 minutes to go.
And I like Rick Bowness as a coach, but I think that is an older hockey man mindset that no, you can't pull your goalie down 3 goals with 12 minutes to go. How could you do that? That's sacrilege to the game, where we've seen it happen, where other coaches are more willing to make that. We saw it happen in Winnipeg when Rod Brind'Amour did it as the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes 2 years ago. Remember that sterling comeback that the Hurricanes made when they were down 3 goals to the Winnipeg Jets, and they were aggressive with some of their decisions at that point in time. So, you know, to me, it's just, and then pulling Brossoit with 3 minutes to go, and they're waiting until there's the perfect amount of dump in or the puck is perfectly deep in order to do it. Again, it just seemed like they're playing for window dressing as opposed to really trying to come back into the game. Because if you get a goal at the 12-minute mark when you're on the power play and you score 6-on-4 there and it's 4-2 at that point in time, well, you know, 4-2, 12 minutes to go, stranger things have happened. 4-2 with 3 minutes to go, to your point, it ain't coming back, folks. It just isn't. Not the way that Colorado has played in this game. Not the way the Jets have played in the series. It's not a way that it's going to come back. So to me, you know, another example of how Rick Bowness has maybe both been outcoached by Jared Bednar and is complicating situations unnecessarily in you know, for whatever reason, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think, look, I'll agree with Rick Bonus on one thing. They did themselves in.
Yeah.
I mean, you just, we talked about it, and you have to recognize, like, one of the things I said is you can disagree with the penalties. And like I said, I think you have to be fair and realize that, you know, the Avs got called with marginal penalties. Oh, well, I'm just talking about throughout this series, and misses have occurred throughout. I mean, look, I don't know how they miss. It's a 5-on-4 for the Jets. Sean Monahan gets a cross check to the face.
Yeah.
And they don't, I mean, how do you, you have four officials presumably watching the play because there's the puck there. So,
right.
And I understand, don't get me wrong, it's in tight in the scrum. You might think, oh, was it the puck? Like they discussed in the broadcast, but there's going to be misses throughout the point. You know what? You know, it's easier to have happen though. Don't be in that situation in the first place. I mean, if you're Logan Stanley, and again, I'm not blaming him for the interference one, the second interference penalty, because I just don't agree with that being an interference. I think that's a stupid penalty. If you're, again, if your standard is the Yakov Trenin hit on Neil Pionk without the puck is not interference, then Logan Stanley's, cross-check, whatever you want to call it, isn't a penalty to my mind either. But ultimately, if you recognize that the refs are going to be using a little bit more of a ticky-tack standard, well, then you've got to be cognizant of the fact that, hey, our PK sucks. We have not, again, despite the fact that it looked good in the first period, but this is Colorado we're talking about. This is an elite power play. And well, No, I'm just saying. So from my perspective, you just have to recognize how does this game change? I mean, look, this is another, it's a one all game after 20 minutes. You fell asleep. Connor Hellebuyck was excellent through the first. I mean, shots were 9-1 at one point.
11-1.
Then it was 12-2. And why was it 12-2? Because the Jets literally, I think it was Logan Stanley, took a shot 200 feet from behind the net, banked off the boards and hit Georgiev's pads. And so that was the second Jets shot. My point is the Jets were completely being outclassed, as you said, to start the show to Drew. And then they turned it around and then they looked like they were in it. And then they start to control the play. They got the benefit of the power play. Obviously they didn't give up a shot. I mean, the Avs had a 12-3 advantage and then the period ended 12-9. So the Jets were able to do what they needed to do, which was control the play, get opportunities, create some things, scored a goal. You know, Nate Schmidt gets his first of the playoffs, first wearing a Jets jersey. But then, like we talked about, and coming out hard again in that second, but the penalties derailed them. The Avs took control of the game. And at that point, it was already over. And you're starting to think, okay, well, now it's time to focus on game five.
And that's exactly it. I mean, the Jets they continue to do the same, make the same mistakes and continue to shoot themselves in the foot repeatedly. And I understand that playing against Colorado and playing against, you know, McKinnon and Nichushkin and their superstars is a difficult task. And you have to play perfect against them. And I think if we've learned anything so far through the first four games of the playoffs of this series, it's that depth is wonderful. In the regular season, depth is just a privilege and a thrill to have in the regular season. But push comes to shove, come playoff time, you need superstars. Depth only takes you so far. And that's what you're seeing from Colorado. They have the superstars that the Jets don't. And it's probably a bit of a wake-up call for Kevin Cheveldayoff to, you know, when he looks at the team, not that I expect that there's going to be full-scale changes, but you look at the Winnipeg Jets and you say, okay, look, we've got some nice pieces here. We've got some significant pieces. It's not, you know, but our defense is not good enough. How many of the Jets defenders today, Dave, you know, how many of the Jets defensemen do you think could play for the Colorado Avalanche? Would have been in the Avalanche top six. Morrissey for sure.
Yeah.
DeMello, I think probably.
Samberg,
maybe. Maybe,
that's it.
But that's it. I mean, you know, and that's the reality of it. Nate Schmidt is not one of the top six defensemen on a Stanley Cup contender. And that, you know, this is not trying to be insulting. Logan Stanley, again, I've been saying this for years. We know what Logan Stanley is. Logan Stanley is a big body. He's not particularly physical. When he tries to be physical, he often puts himself out of position. And as soon as he's out of position, he goes and tries to grab a defender or grab a player rather than get back into position and properly defend. We know that Logan Stanley is at this point in time better suited as a 7, an 8, a 9, somewhere where you're not relying on him as significantly.
Dylan Sandberg, still a young player, everything else. I'm, you know, there's a bright future there. I thought this was actually Neil Pionk's best game of the series, in that I didn't really notice Neil Pionk. I didn't notice him being out there and being out of position and being in it vulnerable for the Winnipeg Jets. So when the benchmark for Neil Pionk is, well, he didn't hurt us, that tells you a little bit about where his game is at this stage of his career.
Although I will say, Drew, I did notice when he did lose a foot race to 39-year-old speedster Zach Parise.
Well, I mean, that's never a good sign either. But I mean, that's the problem with Logan Stanley at this point, and not, pardon me, Neil Pionk, is that he's lost some of his foot speed. I mean, his health is always going to be a question. And I don't think
he's blaming me for this loss, by the way.
Okay, well, it is your fault, Dave. I thoroughly agree with Spencey that it is your fault.
I actually assumed it was Ezzie's fault, to be honest with you, because, you know, we did this post-game show without Ezzie in game one. The Jets won. Right. Then Ezzie joined us for game two and three, and the Jets lost. So I thought, well, if Ezzie's not joining us, then there's a good chance the Jets would win. But unfortunately, it shows that that is not the case.
Yeah, it's apparently not Ezzie. It's not Ezzie's not the deciding factor either. It's just a continual function of, if you have to now deal with this Winnipeg, if you're looking forward to the offseason now, and the Jets are still going to come out and they're going to try their damnedest to extend the series, and that's going to be good. And look, make me eat my words, make me, you know, come back and win the series in seven, and I'll have a nice plate of crow, and I'll be glad to eat it here on the Illegal Curve post-game show. I don't expect that to happen. I don't think that's realistic based on how we've watched the first four games, but at least your glaring areas of concern and the glaring areas that are going to need to be addressed are clear for all to see. You know where your areas of improvement are demand to be. Now, how you improve those areas, well, that's a separate issue entirely. And that'll be something that we talk about, you know, throughout the off-season editions of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. But right now, it's clear that against the best teams in the Western Conference, you have glaring weaknesses that aren't going to be addressed and can't only be addressed through better depth with your forward group.
Yeah. And you know, the one thing I saw it and I thought it was curious when the Jets called the timeout and you looked at the benches and the Avs bench, and they showed it on the television, right? Avs bench is completely, they're all in a group. They're all watching. They're watching the play being drawn up. The Jets were just out of it. The Jets were already checked out. And that to me was just, it wasn't a good sign. It wasn't a good sign from the players. Like, you know, again, this game was over. It was probably over at 3-1, but it was for sure over at 4-1. And I understand that the guys were already thinking about, but you still kind of needed to make a statement, right? Yeah. A statement that this game, you could do something in this period that you could draw on in theory. If what those who have played the game have said, if you can actually bring something forward, some sort of good habit, something that you've done, then you could bring it into the start of the next game in theory, as like I said, as they've said. But to me, what I found curious was just, I just couldn't believe, like, I'm looking at the bench and I'm thinking to myself, you got one or two guys listening to Brad Lauer. And then if you look on the other bench, the entire Avs bench, for the most
body language is bad. The body language.
I'm just saying, but it doesn't look good. Again, like I said, like, and I understand the game's over and the guys are already, like, you know, but it doesn't look good. It's a poor reflection because the Avs are, they're up 4-1. They're very comfortable, right? But instead, what do? They say, okay, well, let's make sure. Let's keep this tight. Let's not give them any momentum. The Jets just didn't seem interested. So again, that's what we do on the show. We make observations. And to me, that was an observation I didn't like to see.
Fair enough. I want to give equal time. I addressed the issue about pulling the goalie on the power play. Rick Bonus also addressed it. This is courtesy of our friend Connor Hrabchuk, who of course has been on this show before and does a lot of work with our friends at Winnipeg Sports Talk. Rick Bonus was asked about the decision to not pull the goaltender during the Jets' late third period power play. Quote, "I was kind of waiting to see how it went, but that power play looked good. They had chances. If the first half of that power play was really bad, then yeah, we would have called a timeout right there, pulled the goalie to try and get something going, but that power play looked really good and their goalie made good saves." And I just think that's short-sighted. I mean, that's just what I would say about that. I just think that is a short-sighted mentality. It's not a killer instinct mentality. It's what, so you're thinking, well, if it works, then yeah, you know, great. But now if it doesn't work, and you know, odds are it's not going to work when you just look at the success rates on power plays versus the goal scoring rate. Maybe the Jets penalty kill is the exception to that rule, but usually a great penalty kill or a great power play, which the Jets have had so far in the playoffs, succeeds 30% of the time. So, you know, 3 out of 10 times you're going to score and you'd be happy with that. You have to have more of a killer instinct here. You have to have more desperation. I'm just not sure what Rick Bowness is waiting for in that instance, waiting till the power play is half over. To me, you wouldn't wait till that power play is half over if it's a one-goal game and there's a minute to go in the contest. You'd have it 6-on-4 immediately upon the faceoff. You're down 4-1 at this point. There's 12 minutes to go in the game or 8 minutes to go in the game. Why aren't you going 6-on-4 immediately? To me, that is just a mistake by the Jets coaching staff and in not taking a more aggressive attitude when the downside to aggression is nothing. The downside is absolutely nothing. The upside is 4-2 with, you know, maybe almost half of the third period to go, as opposed to being the downside being 5-1 with, you know, 8 minutes to go. To me, that's a mistake by the Jets coaching staff right there.
Yeah, and look, ultimately the coaches are to blame, right? You know, the players share a significant, you know, impact on the play of the game, but Rick Bowness likes to take it on the chin for his team and say, well, hey, it's me. I got to get these guys motivated. I got to get these guys ready to go. I have to have these guys prepared. Like I said, to me, like even, you know, after the Avs take the lead in the second period, and then who presses after they take the lead? You'd like to see a counterpunch. We didn't see a counterpunch. We saw the Avs continue to press.
Right.
And Connor Hellebuck got called upon. Yeah. So from that perspective, Drew, it's just another example of, you know, and Mark Scheifele, I don't know if you wanted to highlight his comments about the need for the Avs making adjustments and saying that the Jets aren't adjusting. And of course, like, no offense, Mark Scheifele, that's on you. Like, you're a big part of this team. You're, you know, one of the leaders of this group. And so, you know, and obviously there were some lineup changes that we should probably talk about. The fact that Nino Niederreiter got moved up to the second line. Nikolai Ehlers got moved down to the third line with Adam Lowry and Mason Appleton. And as we said, Axel Johnsson-Fjällby came in initially, at least, and played on that fourth line with Alex Iafallo and Vlad Namestnikov. So the only line that really was kind of untouched was that top line, with at least at first. Was Scheifele, like I said, at first was Scheifele, Vilardi, and Connor. And then eventually, of course, Vilardi got punted from that one. And, you know, Gabriel Vilardi, who we've been talking about, we've been lauding on when he's healthy, how big of an impact he's been on this team. And he's a relatively young guy from a playoff perspective. I don't even know how many playoff games he's played. I don't think it would be very many, though, Drew, if you could fact check me on that one.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, like I said, like Tyler Toffoli, Gabriel Vilardi, Sean Monahan, those are the guys, Nikolai Ehlers, Kyle Connor. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys that need to produce. Like, you want to, of course, if you can get a goal from Alex Iafallo, if you can get a goal from Nino Niederreiter, if you can get a goal from Mason Appleton, the Avs are getting those kind of goals.
Yeah.
The Avs are definitely getting that. So, and the Jets aren't getting that, but they're also, you'd be like, okay, well, it's not really sustainable to go to win 16 games without any depth scoring, but you also need your primary scoring to produce. And they're not doing it. Like, one goal this game, two goals the last game, two goals the game before that. How is that enough to win? And I mean, again, it may be if you're staying disciplined, because again, Connor Hellebuck has been fine at 5-on-5.
Sure.
So, I mean, if you can stay undisciplined and you can keep the game's low scoring, that's one thing, Drew. But if you're not going to stay disciplined and you're only scoring one or two goals a game, I don't see how you win those games.
No, I mean,
and for the record, you don't, because you're now down 3-1 in the series.
that's just it. I mean, you don't have a chance at that point in time. It's too much to ask, you know, for the Jets to take that many penalties, especially given their lackluster penalty kill. I mean, it's not that difficult. It's not that much of rocket science. Connor Hellebuck did everything in his power to keep the Winnipeg Jets in this one. Which goal don't you like? I mean, let's break it down for you. If you're a Hellebuck hater and you're saying that this is on Connor Hellebuck, despite the fact that the Jets only mustered one goal, which goal don't you like? The first goal, which is a bad giveaway by Logan Stanley, and then Nate Schmidt is caught puck watching and loses Arturi Lehkonen. I mean, you're going to blame Connor Hellebuck for that one. I mean, I don't think that's fair if you are, but all the power to you if you think that's the way you want to go with it. You know, are you blaming him for the great tip-in by Val Nichushkin on the power play goal that goes post and in, a terrific tip-in? Are you blaming him on that one? Are you blaming him on the Cale Makar one? Well, maybe. Maybe you don't love the Cale Makar goal. But all I'm seeing there, more than something you can fault the goaltender with, is an unbelievable play by the best defenseman in the NHL. I mean, that's, you know, that was Bobby Orr-esque. And I know that we've heard too many comparisons between Makar and Orr and everything else, because I'm sick of hearing it as well. I get you, folks. But he started that play 200 feet away. You know, Adam Lowry goes for an uncharacteristic stick check rather than angling Makar or using the body. He just sort of whiffs on him. And then Makar is off to the races. And, you know, it's a great shot. I understand maybe you need to see Hellebuck make that save, but Hellebuck has made so many saves already to keep you afloat that this one, inevitably something's going to go in if you don't step up your game from the Jets skaters' perspective. And they didn't. And so that's, you know, you got 3-1 at that point in time, 4-1. You have a problem with the 4-1 goal? Well, he makes the first save. It's a penalty. It's a penalty kill situation. And then Alex Iafallo is maybe a little bit late to come back and get the rebound before Nichushkin does. You're telling me that's Hellebuck's fault again? I don't know what the realistic expectation is for the Jets goaltender when the team in front of him can't stay out of the penalty box, can't kill a penalty. And of course, gives up 4 and scores one goal on their own, Dave. It's just I don't know what the realistic is there.
I would absolutely agree with you. And now we don't have to do a post game show by game recap because you've just recapped all the goals. But yeah, Drew, I mean, it's goaltending isn't the issue. I know that folks look.
It's not.
Connor Hellebuck hasn't been otherworldly. It's not like that game against the Predators where they had 17 scoring chances and he won't. Pretty much single-handedly.
Your chances were 14-4 at 5-on-5, Dave. 14-4 at 5-on-5, which means he's made 12 out of 14 high danger chances at 5-on-5 in this game.
Again, like I said, he's not your problem. I'm not sitting here going to advocate that I believe that. I don't. And what did I say 10 minutes ago when this? I mean, we're already 40 minutes in, Drew. We're fired up. It's 40 minutes into the show, and you know, over 500 people are in the chat on YouTube. Another 500 on Twitter. We're loving you guys all joining us and girls joining us here on the Illegal Curve post-game show. But my point is that I wouldn't say it's Hellebuck. I would just say it's the differences in this game is the fact that right now the Jets aren't creating. They're not matching the intensity that the Avs have brought. But yeah, I mean, it's an easy one to look at the score at the end of the day and to say the Jets lost a game by 7, you know, the Avs scored 7, the Avs scored 6, the Avs scored 6, the Avs scored 5, and be like, well, that's obviously a goaltending situation. And that'd be a very superficial way of looking at it and a very simple way of looking at it. But I think it just doesn't do anyone any justice to actually look at that and say, like, again, you want to say that Laurent Brossoit looked calm and cool and collected in the net. Guys, like, let's be realistic. Do you really think the Avs were trying in that third period? Like, let's test Laurent Brossoit. Like it's not, and you can say the Jets look more comfortable. Like, again, everyone here in the chat is watching the same game that we're watching.
And sometimes I'm not sure about that.
Well, no, but I mean, like, and look, everybody has their own biases and their own way of viewing things. So, I mean, and there's no one superior way, except for maybe my way, but there's no one superior way to doing it. But all I'm going to say is the notion that the Jets play, like, this is not. I understand where this comes from. I remember when the Jets used to have Pavlik Tricity, Andre Pavlik in net, and the team or Steve Mason or even David Rittich. David Rittich is probably the best one, even though I'm mispronouncing his last name. Because the fact of the matter is, when he was in net, the Jets didn't look comfortable. They always looked a little bit nervous because you never knew what was going to happen with, you know, no save Dave. So I understood that. But I mean, now I'm seeing that sort of notion with Connor Hellebuck. I'm thinking to myself, like, he's not the issue. And I'm not like a Connor Hellebuck, like there's no Connor Hellebuck jersey in my closet. There's a Pat LaFontaine jersey in my closet, but there's no Connor Hellebuck jersey in my closet.
Why a Pat LaFontaine jersey?
No reason. A buddy of mine gave it to me. So that was, that's it. Nice. But anyways, the point is that, that I'm just saying that he is the least of the problems right now. Like, look, like Drew, Let's go through the, I don't have it pulled up. You probably have the Winnipeg Jets stats. Read off the number of goals that have been scored by the players on this team.
Hang on. Give me a second.
I'll look it up right now, but
your point is clear that they're not scoring enough goals. Aside from game one, they haven't, go through it. Aside from game one, take game one out of the equation. How many goals has this team scored?
Five.
Yeah. I mean, that's not enough. I don't care who your goalie is. I don't care if your goaltender is an Mark amalgam Shifley of Ken Dryden and Vladislav Tretiak.
Mark Shifley, your goalie is. Mark Shifley, two goals. Kyle Connor, two goals. Josh Morrissey, two goals. Gabriel Vilardi, none. Adam Lowry, two goals. Niederreiter, zero goals. Mason Appleton, zero goals. Let's keep going down. Sean Monahan, zero goals. Nikolai Ehlers, zero goals. Alex Iafallo, zero goals. And it goes on and on. So, I mean, my point I'm trying to make is that while the goaltending hasn't been otherworldly, he's still been good, as Drew mentioned, right? 12 of the 14 high danger chances he faced 5-on-5, he made those stops. But if you don't get goal scoring in the playoffs, it won't matter.
It doesn't matter at all. You're absolutely right about that, Dave M. It doesn't matter at all if you don't get the goal scoring. The Jets aren't getting the goal scoring. They only got the one goal in tonight's game, which makes it a really easy, and with apologies to Cale Makar, I'm going to give it to Nate Schmidt because it's his first career playoff goal for the member of the Winnipeg Jets. That's our Seagram shot of the game.
The Seagram shot of the game.
Big thanks to our friends at Seagram's for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Perhaps you're hitting the bottle as a result of the Jets' performance as of late. If you are doing so, we recommend any of the fantastic Seagram's products. Perhaps you're going to go with Seagram's 83, Manitoba's favorite Canadian whiskey. If that's your choice, we encourage that, but we also encourage you to, of course, please drink responsibly. Big thanks to our friends at Seagram's for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Just going to slide in this comment from Mike McIntyre, Winnipeg Free Press, who's in Denver. He just tweeted this out, and I want to make this mention here on the show. I'll say this here in Denver. The Jets not only look like a team with no answers, but sound like one too. Nothing we just heard from Mark Scheifele, Nino Niederreiter, or in brackets, especially Rick Bowness, inspires hope that this can get turned around. So media interviews, as much as we like to think that they're significant and they're important, they can mean nothing. These guys can go out, win 5-1 in the next game. And if they do, come back here and, congratulate me for getting it right, Kreskin. But ultimately, I think it's another reflection. I mean, Mike's an observer and he's giving you an observation that he's picking up on from, he's been in Denver for 3 or 4 days, giving you coverage of this team for the Winnipeg Free Press. So, yeah, this is, it sounds like a defeated group. It sounds like a group without answers. And they're going to need to figure some out, because I think Rick Bowness said it, and I believe he meant it. And he said, look, four very good teams are going to go home after the first round. And he's not wrong about that.
Four Western Conference teams is what he was
referencing. Yeah. Of course, obviously, there's more than four teams.
Three very good teams in the Los Angeles Kings, I would say.
Yes, I would agree with that. But I would just say that.
I made myself laugh.
But the fact is that he said, and I mentioned this yesterday or Saturday, yesterday on the show, was that as long as you can say you gave all the effort you needed to give in order to show that, hey, you know what, a week after this series ends, whenever that is, you're not looking back going, I could have given more. Now, we went through a laundry list of players who can clearly still give more, Drew, and are still going to need to show some, give a shit on Tuesday and some pushback and whatever other language you want to use. Well, but again, like I said, that's, a little bit ahead because we still have to get through game four.
Well, and on Tuesday for game five, look, I mean, we remember the end of season comments from Rick Bowness, and they ring very loud right now. And the Jets, look, are unlikely to win this series. I think the stats would bear that out, even if you don't like my opining that comment. But the Jets on Tuesday, to prove that they're more than they were last year, need to show the fight. They need to show the fight that they didn't show in Vegas last year in game five. You're playing that game five at home. That's right. You want to have a performance that your fans can be proud of. And yes, it's an uphill climb, and yet, but it starts with one game at a time. It starts with one shift at a time. It starts with one period at a time. And that has to be the mindset on Tuesday night. Because if you come out and you do, I mean, if you have a performance akin to what the Toronto Maple Leafs did on home ice last night, you know, where they get booed off the ice because of how awful they looked and how they had their best players, their core four, sniping at each other on the bench. You know, think about, you know, it won't garner the national attention that it will because it's Toronto with the Leafs. But think about how the offseason will look for the Jets, you know, if they lay an egg on home ice on Tuesday night. It won't look very good after what has been a season that has largely been fun and filled with positive attitude and promise.
Think about it, Drew. 52 of the playoff of the regular season games ended with wins, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a significant number given, you know, when you look at it, 52 of the 82. So, and they weren't all Picassos. They weren't all games they deserved to win. But I'm just saying, like, you're right. It has been a fun season. It's been a lot of fun. Jets fans are enraged. Playoffs, you know, create a different animal. We know we've definitely got some Avs folks in the chat as well, having some fun. So keep it fun, folks. Keep having good times. Remember, it's not life or death.
Right.
We appreciate the dedication that you have joining us after every single game. The place to be for Jets fans after every game, win, lose, or I see Drew.
Thank you.
Right there is the Leo Kirk post-game show.
I got some baby pictures I can pull out after the break if you want to see those.
Sorry, that one right there is from when I was a little kid, David's room. So there we go. But yeah, this is the place to be.
I was cuter as a kid than I am now, if you believe that, folks. And I know how good I am right now. So why don't we do that? We'll go to break. Maybe we won't bring out the baby pictures, but I'll see if I can grab them. And we'll come back with the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. We'll do a little bit more of a game four recap. The Jets, they're up against it. They lose this afternoon in Denver by a 5-1 margin. They trail in the season, in the series now, 3-1, do or die Tuesday night at home for the Jets against the Avalanche. Drew Mandel, Dave Manouk with you on a Sunday afternoon. This is the Illegal Curve post game show.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life?
Like finding out your favorite snack has 0 calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
The Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking. And to sweeten the deal even more,
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni!
Tell me about it. Just download Grid Park, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rolly's.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rolly's.com.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to rumorscomedyclub.com.
The game can change just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
It's all over, folks, and the run has come to an end.
You've been so far away.
A Canadian team hasn't won the Cup in over 30 years.
And the Cup will stay south of the border.
Maybe it's time we try something different. This playoff season, let's cheer with the fans we've always cheered against. Team up for the Cup at Boston Pizza.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the illegal curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk. It took my parents the entirety of the commercial break to find some childhood photos of me. Hang on, maybe I'll turn this light off, see if that helps. There's me with a dog. I don't know whose dog that is. Dave is hating every second of this, I can assure
you. No, I'm tweeting. I'm not actually watching the thing.
Okay, so there's me as a youngin' with a dog. I'm not sure. Hang on, let me flip this thing over again as well. There's also me. I was really quite an adorable little child there, if you really think about it. There's
it's not really clear, Drew.
Well, it's pretty clear. I mean, I can get the...
There we go. Hold it up.
There you go. Look at that. The good head of hair I had. Unfortunately, yeah. It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
You know, this is me seemingly giving a gift to some child. I'm not entirely certain who that other child is, but I hope they don't mind.
Spencey says he's here for no more Jets talk. He's here for the Mandel memoirs.
I can pull out some bar mitzvah photos also if you want. This is a bit of a scandalous one. I'm going with the short look on this one. I'm not really certain what's happening on this photo as well. But as you can see,
Louis Batista wants to know if you still live at home.
I don't still live at home. Somehow I got somebody to marry me. That's the most surprising part of tonight's activities. So anyways,
all right, we've seen that photos. Move on, Mandel.
Yeah, there you go. So there's some childhood photos of me, and a good reminder why I don't frequently do this show from my parents' house, because it's a reminder that they don't otherwise have any photos of me regularly available. So that's always
although Drew, to be clear, if we're going to go back in the history of this fine program, or
it's true,
the precursor started here to my parents' house. Precursor to this fine program where we started after the death of 1290, thank God that we began at you were doing the show at your parents, so
it's true.
It's although you were in the basement, I believe. It's true.
I've graduated up to my main
floor. They're now letting you be on the main floor, which is very nice of them.
Yes, that is very nice of them. So there you have it. There's some childhood pictures of me to hopefully soften the disappointment that was tonight's Jets performance. The Jets obviously losing tonight 5-1 against the Colorado Avalanche, trying to find their way back into the series on Tuesday night. William wants to know if you're going to show any of your childhood pictures as well, or is that do you have any handy on that front? I mean, you're not at least you're not at your parents' house, so it would be weird if you sort of kept a baby picture around at all times.
I will. Well, maybe I'll save it for the next game. Well, no, because game five I'll be at the arena.
That's true. You should bring them with you to the arena. I'm sure everybody there will be seeing that.
Yeah, Judy Owen beside us. That's fine. I can figure that out.
Exactly right. Again, reminder in case anybody, or just as an update in case anybody just joining us, Vlad Namestnikov went to the hospital after taking that slap shot to the face. We don't yet know his status. I'm not sure if he went to the hospital for x-rays or to get stitched up or what precisely it was, but he did go to the hospital after taking that vicious slap shot to the face, and obviously we wish him nothing but the best. Brendan Dillon was not in the Jets lineup after suffering that skate cut. They say day-to-day, but I think everybody's day-to-day at this point of the season, so time will tell on Tuesday if he is back in the Jets lineup. We heard from Rick Bonus. It sounds like that Cole Perfetti is likely to make his playoff debut on Tuesday night in game five. So you're going to see some lineup changes for the Winnipeg Jets. I don't know what that's going to necessarily do, but you might as well try something new at this point. At this point in time, because you're down 3-1. If you lose on Tuesday, there is no more tomorrow. So there's no point in keeping your powder dry for a potential game six until you win game five.
No, there's no question about it. And we won't know what those moves are until we see. I don't know the schedule. See, that's very unusual. Normally I can give folks a kind of some insight as to what the schedule looks like, but we usually don't get that message till the Jets will send out a text to the folks in the media on the chat, and we'll kind of get an idea as to what the next day is going to look like.
Right.
Because obviously they try and, you know, figure it out. The kind of things move around. So we'll find out. And again, that'll be in the notes on illegalcurve.com in tomorrow's morning papers. If you're curious as to what is going to happen, they most likely will have a media availability. I will also be doing media availabilities with the Moose, because they're, of course, their season ended last Thursday, and they're doing kind of a, I'm not really sure why, but a Monday to Wednesday media session. So over the course of 3 days, which is lovely, 3 days out at the Iceplex, that should be fun. But yeah, we'll see what that has. But hey, we'll be talking to Colby Barlow tomorrow for anyone, Chaz Lucius and a few others. Let's see, anybody else of interest for Jets fans? Dylan Anhorn and Connor Levis. So, and Danny Jilkin. So four or five Jets prospects I'll talk to tomorrow, and that'll be up on our YouTube channel. So keep a lock on that. And of course, on illegalcurve.com.
There you go. Dave doing garbage bag day for the Manitoba Moose. We want to remind everybody, of course, with game five on Tuesday night back in Winnipeg, that means another edition, possibly the final edition, we shall see, of the Illegal Curve pregame show. That'll come to you live from City Place, downtown Winnipeg, second floor in the food court, prior to game five between the Jets and the Avalanche. So that should, with game time being 8:30, which probably means closer to 8:50, the pregame show will run from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. So join us on Tuesday evening at City Place. Big thanks to City Place for their support and for their initiative that has brought the Illegal Curve pregame show to fruition. But we'll be live in the food court 6:30 to 8 on Tuesday night for the Illegal Curve pregame show. And then after the game, the Illegal Curve postgame show, where we will either be talking about a potential game six on Thursday night, or we'll be talking about the end of the regular, the end of the Winnipeg Jets season. One or the other.
William wants to know if we're booking tee times. Well, I hate golfing, William, so not me.
I'm not booking any tee times just yet, because I think the weather report for Tuesday doesn't look great. But if somebody wants to take me golfing, I'm always happy to accept an invitation to go golfing, but I'm not yet booking my own tee times.
Folks were golfing out at my main course when I do golf, which KP is frequently KP. So I saw some folks out at KP. Shout out KP.
There you go. Dave M loves the train track hole. Do you go over or do you go under?
Well, my intention is always to go over. My reality is oftentimes under or into the woods or hitting one of the joggers running down the path on the left-hand side.
Look, it was their fault for being behind you anyways. If they didn't want to get hit by that golf ball, they should have known it was going to ricochet off a tree and smack them in the head behind you. That's their own fault. And as a result, you should feel no guilt over that, Dave Minuk. We'll wrap up the post-game show with the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment.
The Tough Duck hardest hitting comment.
We're going to give tonight's Tough Duck hardest hitting comment to Robert Palmer. Robert is frequently in the chat, if I'm not mistaken. His comment came in late during the post-game show, but nonetheless, it was a good one. This next game will show us what we are made of. The Jets are still in the dance. If you quit on your team, you don't deserve to wear that jersey you put on. Side note, Perfetti needs to play. Well, Robert's probably going to get his wish based on the comments that Rick Bonus made about Cole Perfetti and the likelihood he'll be in the lineup for game five between the Jets and the Colorado Avalanche. Robert, congratulations. You've won a Tough Duck trucker hat. Now that the weather has turned warmer, we don't give away toques. We give away trucker hats. So send me an email, drew@illegalcurve.com with your mailing address, or slide into my DMs @ICDrew, and our friends at Tough Duck will hook you up with that great prize. Congratulations to Robert. Congratulations to everybody who has won the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment, the 86 now times we have given away here on the Illegal Curve postgame show.
Oh, and actually to that end, Drew, again, remember folks, for those who are going on Tuesday, and I know that some folks are upset, but hey, you know what can make things a little bit easier? Your Winnipeggers.
I know.
What is it?
Is it free parking from Grid Park?
It is free parking from Grid Park. Woo-hoo! So I've still we've had some people reach out, dave@illegalcurve.com, or I see Dave, send me a DM on Twitter, or just send me a message on Twitter if you can't DM me, and let me know if you want to go. What is this?
This is just me playing with a sprinkler there, if you see that. I'm very excited about that sprinkler.
Well, there you go. But if forget about Drew's sprinkler, we're gonna make it tinkle when you sprinkle, because you're going to be getting free parking from Grid Park for Tuesday's game 5 here in Winnipeg. So send me a message, IC Dave or dave@illegalcurve.com, and we'll hook you guys up. And like I said, I've probably got 4 or 5 left. I'm not going to say we're going to get rid of them all, because you know, you want to have a little faith. Maybe you'll need them for Saturday night, game 7, downtown Winnipeg. But for now, for game 5, if you want to go to the game and park for free, hit me up with an email and we'll send you a code.
That would be wild if there was a game 7. Obviously, that would be, I would suggest, unexpected at this point in time, but stranger things have happened. The Jets will have to dig deep to make it to a game 6 before they can think about a game 7. And it all starts on
one game at a time. Night.
What's that?
Playing the role of Ezzy. I'm interrupting you. One game at a time.
Thank you. I appreciate you interrupting me and playing the role of Ezzy. I was worried that nobody was going to do it in the course of tonight's post game show. Big thank you to all the sponsors of Illegal Curve who make the post game show, the Saturday show, the website a possibility. That's our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. In case you missed it in yesterday's Winnipeg Free Press, a great article on the 40 years that Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand up comedy. So congratulations to our friends at Rumors for that wonderful milestone. Check that out in yesterday's Winnipeg Free Press and online on the Winnipeg Free Press website. Dave reminded people, Grid Park, you can use code IllegalCurve to park for free. Email Dave, he'll hook you up for Tuesday night or any night when you head downtown and need to use some Grid Park parking. Our friends at Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Tough Duck, they had the hardest hitting comment. Boston Pizza, I think they're still recovering from the Illegal Curve watch party and post game show that happened on Friday. Boy, was that a lot of fun. Our friends at Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Farmery Beer support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. For anybody that wants to stick around, I'm going to keep going through more baby pictures, but I completely understand if you want to go and maybe spend some more time with your loved ones or your family members on this Sunday evening rather than watch that. We appreciate everyone joining us tonight for the Illegal Curve post game show. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, leave us feedback here, there. Always want to feedback on the podcast as well, and rate us and review us, because that helps with the algorithm. I don't know what that means, but it sounds good, so I like to say it nonetheless. We'll be back Tuesday evening, the Illegal Curve pregame show, 6:30 p.m., the Illegal Curve postgame show after game 5. IllegalCurve.com is, of course, going to be updated with all your latest Winnipeg Jets and tomorrow Manitoba Moose news, audio, video, the whole enchilada.
Drew, they're giving me 3 days to create content, so I'm not going to complain about that. I guess I was thinking about it. Do I want to just do it all in one day? No, this gives me 3, although I don't know how I'm going to do it on Tuesday when it's a Jets game day, but we'll figure that out.
You'll clone yourself. You got 48 hours to figure that out. So something to go ahead and do. Thanks everyone for joining us all weekend long. It's been great. Have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll see you Tuesday evening. For Dave Manuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. This has been the Illegal Curve post game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. Follow @IllegalCurve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, IllegalCurve.com.